Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we want to thank you that as we get into your word this evening, we thank you that it's life-giving and it's going to just stir up life within each one of us. We just thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here and that you're ministering to each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, this evening I want to talk about hearing God's voice, but before I do, I just want to say if you missed last week, please get the DVD, look online, get the DVD more specifically than the CD. The CDs are probably at the back, but watch online if you can, because it's really awesome just to see the miracles, see the testimony, see the people from Albania, and then even here. That if you were here, you know, we had throughout the day about 10 miracles, and some of them, you don't see them actually on the video, but you can see them happening at a distance because the camera's way down there and it doesn't zoom up to see that. But it really will be encouraging for you. But we're talking about like knowing God and hearing God's voice. And, you know, this is, if you think about it, this is one of the greatest benefits of having a relationship with salvation, having a relationship with God, is knowing His voice, having Him speak to you, you being able to speak to Him. It's friendship. You know, we've spoken about it over the past month, and Christianity is all about relationship with God. It's all about a relationship. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. John 17, verse 3 says, Jesus speaking, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God." And so relationship with God is the reason why Jesus came. It's the whole purpose of salvation. Salvation isn't about coming to church. It's about relationship with God. Coming to church is good for you, but relationship with God is better for you. Some people, you know, don't have both. You should. You probably didn't get that then. It was really good. If you have relationship with God, it's good for you to go to church. But a lot of people go to church and don't have relationship with God. And it's important to have both. Okay. So, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, fridge magnet scripture. "For I know the thoughts that I have for you, or the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you." Or another translation says, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's got an awesome purpose for your life. That's basically what it's saying. He knows what He's got in store for you, and it's good plans. It's never evil. It's never destruction. Destruction, like, if you have destruction in your life at the moment, it's not God's will. It's not from God. It's not of God. He didn't allow it. He hasn't permitted it. God allows what you allow. The reason I can say that with confidence is because James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." So if you're not resisting the devil, then that's why there's a mess in your life. We leave it there. Verse 12, "Then you shall call to me, and you shall go out and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you," or listen unto you, "and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Verse 13 is really key there, because a lot of people are just like, "God's got an awesome purpose for my life, rah, rah," and that's it. And then kind of life happens to you, and you're like, "Well, life happened." And you're not experiencing those good plans that He's got for you, and you don't know why. And it's because you aren't, you're holding on to verse 11, but you're not even reading verse 13. Never mind knowing what it says. Verse 13, speaking about seeking God. Now, this is an important part, because I was thinking about it in just in terms of even coming to church, and that, you know, in the kingdom, expectancy is a big thing. You need to cultivate and stir up a healthy expectancy if you're wanting to get anywhere or experience anything. So, for example, I mean, this is, if you seek God with all your heart, you'll find Him. If you search for Him with all your heart, you're going to find Him. And so, there's a key. If you're going to search for God, you're going to find Him. Now, let me just add in, and we'll probably talk more about it later. He's not lost, and God isn't hiding from you. He doesn't play hide and seek. But He's there. There's a lot of truth in this. And for a lot of you, it's hiding because it's under your bed or in the cupboard or it's not open. And when it's open and you're studying the scripture, that's searching. And as you're seeking, you're finding. And then you're discovering more about who God is, and you're discovering, you're able to enjoy more relationship with Him because He's revealing Himself to you in the Word. No Word, N-O Word, and you're going to have a very bad relationship with God. Might not be bad as in harmful, but it's not going to be great. Okay? You know, for example, now we're talking about hearing God's voice in context, right? If we've got a relationship with talking, you know, it's not just a one-way conversation. Many of you probably have a one-way conversation, prayer life with God. Our Father, which art in heaven, here's my prayer list. You know, and then it's your request, your shopping list, actually. And it's like, God, please help so-and-so, please feed the hungry kids in Africa, whatever. And then it's all your needs and your desires and your dreams and your goals. And God's like, I'm waiting to get a word in. You know, can I please talk to you? And that's the point. Relationship is a two-way conversation. But God isn't hiding Himself from you. There's truth hidden for you which you can seek out, but God's not hiding. He's not silent from you. Okay? If you seek in here, you'll find Him. Now, if you're not studying the Word and digging into the Word and discovering who God is according to how He's revealed it in the Word, interpreting Scripture correctly in light of the new covenant, in light of what Jesus has done for you, then you're going to have a big problem. Because a lot of people just look at the Old Testament context and be like, well, you know, God killed people, He destroyed the earth, He did this, He did that, He's mean, so I don't want to approach Him. Hey, Jesus happened. The most significant thing in the whole of history happened. It's represented in a white page, in the middle of your Bible, almost the middle, just before Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. There you go. That's the most significant thing that happened in all of the history. And it changed the way that God deals with man and relates to man. Most of us just see it like a white page, which divides the Bible into two. But it's much more than that. The Old Covenant, God, it's the same God, but it's just a different way here of relating to us because of Jesus. Jesus came, satisfied justice. We're not going to get into all of that, whatever He did. But He did it so that we could have a better relationship with God. So that we could enjoy fellowship with Him without having to sacrifice for sin and you know, bring your bull, your goat, your dove, your whatever you're doing to atone for your sin. This was the Old Covenant. You don't have to do that anymore. Because in the New Covenant, you've got free access to the Father. And so many people who don't study the Word, they don't know these kind of things. And so this is like huge for them. They fall, they sin, they're in a bad place. Christians, now we're talking about. No one here. These are our friends who didn't come. So our friends who didn't come, they have a rough time and they're like, okay, well, you know, now I've got to, I'm down and out. I need to approach God. God, I'm so sorry for messing up again. I hope that You can forgive me, please. You know, what I did was really bad. I know I've done it many times and I keep kicking the cat. Like it's just, you know, the cat just irritates me and I kick it and I get angry and I really hurt it this time. You know, mate, yeah, and it's like you feel bad for kicking the cat. I don't want to use your example of what you do. So I'm just kicking. I don't have a cat for this reason. So you got this cat and you keep sinning. By kicking the cat, it can be chocolate cake for you. It can be smoking. I don't care what it is. You can be doing drugs. You fill in the blank for whatever you do. And it's like, God, I've just messed up again. I'm sorry. And you're coming to God and you're like, Lord, I just don't feel like I can, I don't feel confident enough to do what You've called me to do because I've got to sort this problem out in my life. Now, everybody who's ever felt like that, keep your hand down. Amen. We all felt like that at times. We don't feel confident that God would accept us and use us and work through us and bless us because I've messed up. And that's not the right way to relate to God. Now you're relating to God based on what you've done, not what Jesus has done for you, because you're thinking Old Covenant, even though you're living in the New Covenant. And so you need to kind of get out of living in the Old Covenant into the New Covenant, and having that kind of relationship with God is not going to happen by keeping this next to your bed so it looks good, going to church on Sundays and waiting for God to do something in your life. It's not going to happen. God's waiting for you to move. And the first move is really just to get into the Word so you can know Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. This is what many Christians don't know. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So you're relating to God based on your sin. It's like, God, I'm so sorry. I've messed up again. I kicked the cats. I ate that chocolate cake. I did whatever I did. And now I feel bad and you can't use me because I'm just a terrible person. And you're talking to God about your sin. And He's going, hey, what? Your sin and iniquity I'll remember no more. It's like it's gone. What are you talking about? If God could be confused, He'd be confused because it's like you're bringing up something that He doesn't know. He doesn't know about that. Now, yes, you've made a mistake, and yes, you know, all of that type of stuff, but the point is like it doesn't affect your relationship with Jesus. And so He's just saying, hey, come to me, accept me. That's the one song we sang. I don't remember all the lyrics now, but it's basically that. Every time we need you, we're met by love. Not by, why haven't you X, Y, and Z yet? I'm pretty sure, you know better than to X, Y, and Z. God doesn't do that. So many of us in our relationship with God, if we're trying to hear from God regarding something, we automatically default to a negative. We default to a place of, he's going to beat me. He's going to tell me how bad I am. He's going to tell me that I need to sort this out of my life. I don't know if you grew up in these circles when the prophet came. But I was reading something recently and they were talking about it, how whenever someone with a prophetic gifting would come to church, you'd go to confessing your sin and trying to deal with it all before he came to church. Because you didn't want him to point you out and go, you've got some issues, buddy. You've got to sort these things out. And yet God would never do that. He would never reveal your sin to someone to expose you and make you feel condemned. It would always be to help you. If anything, I've had sometimes where people come up for prayer after the service and I know what their problem is. Not because you can see it on them, but because God showed it to me. And I don't necessarily go, hey, you know what? You've got some things you need to deal with. What do I do? You listen, you love, you pray, you minister, you encourage. Sometimes you don't even talk about the issue that you know is the issue. You just minister into that situation. Because God's not about exposing you, condemning you, and making you feel bad. Jesus took away guilt, condemnation, and shame and made you innocent. And so you need to accept that in order to have a good relationship with Him. That'll change the way you hear from God. Many of you think you're hearing from God, and you're not. Because it's messed up. Your thinking is defaulting to old covenant, exposing sin, exposing weakness. And the new covenant, He's building you up and showing you how righteous you are and saying, hey, you can do this. I'm accepting you. I thought that was worth the visit, but I don't even know where I'm in my notes right now. It's awesome to have God be able to speak to you and know that He's never going to expose you, condemn you, make you feel bad. Amen. We can all benefit from hearing God. Amen. Some of us just don't allow Him to speak. Let me correct that and say He is speaking, but it's a case of we're not listening. So, the point I made earlier that He's not hiding or being silent from us is important. He's not playing hide and seek with you. And I've heard many people in Christian circles talk about how God's hiding Himself from them and they're going through a season where God's just not talking to them. Or that I'm here to set you free this evening. That's rubbish. God is never hiding Himself from you and He's never tormenting you going, I know you really need this answer, but I'm just going to withhold a little bit. Seek a little bit more. He's not like your friend, your spouse, or whoever does that to you. He's much more generous and kind than you can ever imagine. He's not playing games with you, trying to make you just seek a little bit more. Come, just try a bit harder. He's like, hey, the buffet is set. I'm sitting at the table. I'm waiting for you. Come. That's how it is with Him. He's like, just come to the table. Enjoy. You don't have to do anything. It's paid for. Jesus is going there, sitting at the other end of the table, going, I paid for it. Look at my scars. And you're like, well, how can I pay for this? Like, how much is it going to cost? Anyway, God's not hiding from you or being silent. We're just not listening. John chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Let's read there. It says, to Him, the porter opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. When He puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice. And a stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I think this is really a powerful scripture. If you look at it, let's go through it a little bit. It says, the sheep hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. If you're his sheep, now this is the first thing to hearing God's voice and knowing God's voice. And let me just, before I even say that, you know, with the Daniel 11:32, when we know our God, we're strong and we're able to do great things for him. Then your life is significant. If you know God, talking about being born again and having a friendship with him, being saved. Okay, if you don't know what that is, we'll give you opportunity later. But when you're able to be strong and then you're able to do great things for him. But when you know him, when you're born again, this says my sheep, then you're his sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. His sheep hear his voice. So what that's saying is that if you're a Christian, you're hearing his voice. Now, by your experience, you might say, I'm not hearing his voice. I don't know what God's saying to me. I prayed with a couple people this morning after ministering on the same topic. And a lot of people are like, we have this big decision to make, and we don't know what to do. We can't hear God on the situation. Now, that's a good way to explain it. We can't hear God in this situation because the truth is God is speaking on the situation. God is telling them what to do, but it's difficult for us to discern what is God saying to me. And the awesome thing about it I've said this for years, life is as simple as asking God and doing what he says. We complicate it. We make it very complicated. Pros and cons and whatever else to try and figure out making the best decision. And yet all you need to do is, hey, God, what do you think? I've done that, and sometimes it's not logical, but I do it, and it's awesome. But anyway, we don't need to do pros and cons and whatever. Your life can change radically just by having one word from God, and it doesn't need to come through the pulpit or through me. Jesus came to cut out the middleman. Came so that he could speak to you directly. Okay? My job isn't to be a middleman, it's to help you grow closer to Jesus so you can hear, you can discern his voice even more clearly. And so what this is saying is that we hear his voice. You can hear God's voice. You should hear God's voice because he's speaking to you. You just need to learn to discern it. There's many, some of you know this, there's voices in your head, right? If you were all honest, you'd admit it. We all know, like, there's this feeling and there's this thought and, you know, there's thoughts. All these like conflicting thoughts sometimes. Which is God, which is you, which is the devil sometimes, which is your mother-in-law, which is whoever. You know, like you need to know how to discern between them. And you know, I know that sometimes it's a case of, well, okay, I've got this thought. This is what I'm feeling on my heart. Is this God or is this the devil? Is this thought God or the devil? This is and it might be a good thought and you're like, I don't know if this is God speaking to me. You know, I understand where you're at if you're thinking like that, but let me just say this. You shouldn't be thinking like that. Because the more you get into the Word and you come to know the Father, His character and His nature through the eyes of the cross, through Jesus, it's going to help you to discern very easily what's God and what's not. When I, as I started growing in the Word and whatever, it was easy for me to know this is what God's saying to me. Why? Because then you're not, it's not a business transaction relationship where, okay, you know, boss, what's my next step? And then you're trying to figure out, what is the boss telling me? Must I turn left or must I turn right? It's a case of, I know my Father's heart, and I know what he wants me to do. It's like the only example I can think of, and I know that there would be better ones, is, and I trust my wife is watching online at home now, is that she often asks me, what do you feel like for supper? But in reality, she knows. She doesn't have to ask, but it's just in case it's like between three things and I really want that. You know what I mean? It's like when you come to know someone, you know what they're like. So if you've spent time with me and getting to know me, then you'll know what I like and what I don't like, and it'll be easy for you to make a decision. Like the guys, the leaders that work with me, it's like they'll know what I would do in a situation. Most people know as well when they should offer coffee and when they shouldn't. You know, so it's like little things like that. Coffee's always a good idea, just depends what the coffee is. It's not about me. All true believers hear God's voice. You just have to learn to recognize it. It's like this, you know, like the TV signals picture. You in this room, let's use the mic for example. You've got the receiver on this end, and or the sender, I suppose, and the receiver in the middle there. It's sending a signal there, and it's going out to the microphones, blah, blah, blah. You know the story, but you can't see the signal. If we were on a different frequency, we wouldn't hear my voice coming through the speakers. If we had a TV here, and we were to plug it in and tune it in, there's many different signals here, and we could tune into many different TV stations, even from around the world, if you have the right equipment. God is always speaking. You need to tune in and just learn to receive that signal. When you receive that signal and you come to know that signal, it's easy to constantly flow in that. Okay? But it can take some time because most of us are either just pleading with God in prayer or begging God for things, and we don't really know God, so we're not approaching Him properly because we think He's angry with us because we did something. So we're starting off with repentance and, God, please forgive me for this and help me with this. And we think we need to pray for the president before we pray for our need. And, you know, you're kind of, it's not a bad idea because it's a need for all of us, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, so hearing God's voice, the first thing we need to do is fix our receivers and know that God's speaking to us, so just receive. Take time, effort, and focus. And that's more than most of us, or a lot of us, are willing to give. It takes time, focus, and effort. Okay, the average Christian's lifestyle doesn't allow for hearing God's voice. Say it again. The average Christian's lifestyle doesn't allow for us to just clearly and very easily hear from God. What is He saying to us? So, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So it's in the stillness that we know God. Not in the busyness. Now I'm busy. If you know me, I'm busy. All the stuff I'm busy with is productive. It's fruitful. So it's a good busy. Some of you are maybe bad busy. Make sure that your busyness is fruitfulness. It's not just busy for the sake of being busy. But it's not talking about being still necessarily on the outside. Sometimes we need that breakaway and becoming still on the outside so we can become still on the inside. But what this scripture is talking about is be still on the inside. And when you're still on the inside, it's easy to be able to hear from God. Most of you are sitting still right now. But on the inside, you've got a million thoughts going through your mind, and you're like all over the place. You know, you're trying to go to bed, and your mind is just running overtime. You can't hear God in there. You're too busy. You need to allow your heart and your mind to be still, and it takes effort. You know, about 4 years ago, I had to make a big decision for the church. And I didn't want to make the decision, but I had to because, hey, I'm the leader, so I had to. And sometimes I wish someone else would be the leader to make the decisions like that. But I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to just take time out to hear from You. Number one, I switched my phone off. There's a word from the Lord for someone. Number two, I took my Bible, I took a notepad, and I took a pen, and I went and sat on Kutzenberg Field where nobody was. I sat on the grandstand, and I just went, okay, God, I'm going to read through Ephesians, and you can speak to me when you want to. And in the beginning, my mind kept defaulting to thinking about the decisions, thinking about everything I had to think about and whatever, and I just disciplined myself to read through Ephesians. So I went through Ephesians chapter 1. It was difficult. Read through Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3. Eventually, my head got in the game. And as I got towards the end of Ephesians, God spoke to me clearly, and I knew exactly what I should do. Because I was getting still on the inside. I had to become still on the outside to become still on the inside. But He spoke to me through Scripture as well in Ephesians, and then He built on from it. But that's the point, is that, you know, whatever God says to you will never contradict Scripture. And so often, we're confused, is this God, is this not, because we don't know Scripture, so we don't know if it's contradictory. And that's fine, because we all grow and we're growing in it. But the point is, also, don't be so busy on the inside or the outside that it robs you from the privilege of knowing that voice. Because God doesn't necessarily speak in a big booming voice like mine. Magical voice like mine. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. And He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke it into pieces of rock before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. This is the point. Often we're kind of looking for the big demonstrations of God, the big sign, the big wonder, the big whatever, to show us this is the way you should go. And then two angels confirm it, and the doves fly in this direction. And that we sang that song. And God's, what the scripture is showing is that He's not in all those big demonstrations. It's a still small voice. Usually the loudest voice is the one you should ignore. It's true. Usually the loudest voice in your heart is probably the voice of the enemy, trying to distract you from what God's called you to do. But you know, God isn't in the always in those big things. He's in the little things. It's that still small voice, and it speaks in your heart. We're talking about practical relationship with God, and it's not spooky weird. Now, I remember now I taught in this in Albania. They loved this. It's not spooky, spiritual, weird, where God's always just going to say, hey, yes, you should go to church today. Or yes, you know, you should give. Or, you know, not just like spiritual things like that. Or go tell that person I love you. He wants to talk to you about you and have relationship with you. It's not just about the what's the next step, God. He wants to speak to you more than the next step. He wants to speak to you about stuff. How many of you like your spouse just giving you directions? No one's hand went up there. You know, for the singles, you won't like that. That's not the relation. You know, you're not going for just someone who's going to give you instructions. You want relationship. You want engagement. And then marriage. No, you want to engage with someone. So I was teaching on this in Albania, and I used this example. They thought it was very funny. And come to think of it, I don't know if it is 100% appropriate, but it's a good story. So I'll share it. Their response told me that I shook some religious cages there. But I was on my first mission trip ever, 2001, and I was coming back from Madagascar. And from Madagascar, and I remember just like talking to God and like enjoying being on the plane and like, wow, we had such a great time. And I remember going to the bathroom at the back of the plane. It's a little plane. And as I'm walking to the back of the plane, I see this older guy sitting at the back, and I looked at him, and I was like, he had curly white hair around the sides here, and he was busy reading a book, and I was like, my first thought was, wow, if Moses looked like anything, that's what Moses would look like. That was my first thought. And so I walked past him, I looked at what he was reading, and the book was in Hebrew. I thought that was just fun, you know, that was interesting. So then I go to the bathroom, that was just for free. I went to the bathroom, and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm just still like, you know, praying and talking to God and just enjoying the moment and whatever. And I felt the Holy Spirit say in my heart something very spiritual. Lock the door. I looked up and I went like that because I realized I hadn't locked the door. And as I did that, someone went like that. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Now that's very practical. And I've had things like that in many different situations where, you know, I had it this week actually. So now, you know, we're trying to do our bit to save water and all of that. So we bought a container, and our washing machine is in the garage. So we're doing a load of washing, and we put the cord into the container. And it was a great exercise to see how much water a washing machine uses. And so we're doing it, and now I'm trying to work in the lounge and hear that thing fill up. And so I'm on my computer in the lounge, and I'm listening out, and I run through, and I look, and I'm like, okay, and then I change the hose, and I run with the water outside, and I'm watering the garden, and then I'm putting it back, and I'm running back, and I'm doing some work, some preparation, Bible study, all of that, and I'm busy, and I just felt, at one point, I felt the Lord say, now, I just come back, and I felt Him say, you need to go now. There's nothing spiritual about that, right? It's practical relationship with God, and I just, as that happened, I was like, it's too soon, and I know that this is God speaking to me. It's too soon. And I said, I know this is you, Lord, but I want to finish this. So I said, I'm going to go now. And then I felt it again. You need to go now. And I was like, I'm going to get there. How many of you do that with your friends and your family? And, you know, I know that I should, but I'm going to wait. And I was like, okay, I finished. And I run. There's water everywhere. It had gone overflowed, like it was all over the floor. And I was just like, you know, I should have listened to God. I knew it was Him. It wasn't like I was like, I wonder if this is the Lord speaking to me. I've come to know God's voice, and I knew that it was Him. And I was like, that still small voice inside of me, I knew this is God speaking to me. And I still said, hold on a second. You do the same, so don't judge me for it. But anyway, the one of the problems we have is that we're not discerning, is this God, or is it, we're unable to discern it. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this is saying that the communication is spirit to spirit. It's not spirit to head. It's not spirit to physical ear. He's communicating with you on the inside. And He does that in a thought. He does that with something in here. And you're able to know, is that a God thought? Is that a devil thought? Is that a my thought? The more you know the Word. So the answer is, get more into the Word. Okay? It's about learning to discern that voice. The more clearly you discern the voice of the Lord, the more clearly you'll know His heart from the Word. Okay? And when you know the Word, the more you'll be able to discern Him speaking to you. Now, like I've said this before and previously, but there's no gift of discernment. Some translations call it the gift of discernment, and it's not. It's the gift of discerning of spirit, being able to know if the thing behind what's happening is right or wrong. Even if you don't know why, you just know that there's something evil or something good or whatever. You're able to discern motive. Discernment is something we should all have. It's not just for a chosen few who have the special gift of discernment. I mean, that would be terrible. Then you would, if I have the gift of discernment, you would need to phone me constantly. Hey, Shane, should I go with this business deal or that business deal? You know, should I? No, I don't want to do that. We all have to have the gift of discernment. And it's not a gift. It's actually something you grow in. The more Word you know, the more you're going to be able to discern between truth and error. Okay, so for example, this is an example. It's fictitious. Let me just say that right up front. Last night, I had a dream. I woke up from this dream, and as I woke up, I had an open vision, and there was this angel that appeared to me. Remember, this is fictitious. So I had this angel appear to me, and they said that in the service today, they told me that God showed me that you, He showed me all your faces, and He said you would be here, and that if you were to give me all your money, you'd be blessed. Now, some of you might fall for that because you don't know the Word. And some of you might not fall for it from me because you don't know me, but if some other big shot preacher was to do it, you'd fall for it because people do fall for it. But if you know the Word, you know that that's deception and you should run. So if that happened, don't be polite. Leave. I give you permission here. I give you permission wherever you are. If someone does that, leave. Just get up politely, take your bags, turn around and run. Because it's deception. But you would only be able to know that if you knew the Word. If I was to come to you and say, hey, guys, I was up all night writing a new Bible. God gave it to me last night. I'm going to publish it, and this is the new Bible. You might be like, well, that's not a bad idea. I'm tired of reading that old one anyway. Some of you. But the point is if you know the Word, and you know that if you know the truth, you're free. If you know the truth, you're not going to fall for that junk. Some people do fall for that junk. I can't think of the guy's name. Someone did that. God gave me a new Bible. Here you go. And probably a good thing I don't remember his name. Anyway, the point with discernment is John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare unto you things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit shows us things to come, and He leads and guides us in truth. I like this. He's not just going to show you, hey, this is wrong and that's right. Just go for it. He leads and guides you in truth. How many of you have ever been on like a walk or a hike and you had a guide? So you have a tour guide or something like this. So you've been overseas and you're busy in the streets and you've got a tour guide. What's the most important part of the tour? Stick with the guide. I've seen the Asians. They got their flag and they're following. Stick with the guide, because if you lose the guide, you're lost. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Doesn't mean he's going to reveal all truth to you. He guides you in truth. What is truth? It's the word. So if he's trying to guide you right now into the decisions that you need to make and in the direction you should go, but some of you are about to make stupid decisions and he's trying to guide you away from it. But you don't know because you don't know the voice of truth. And so it's difficult for you to discern what he's trying to guide you, but you're not following. You follow a guide. He's trying to guide you in truth. So he guides you in the truth that you know. So come to, you know, you might have a sense of, I don't feel good about this. Follow that. It's a good idea. Follow it. But realize that you've got to follow him. The more truth you know, the easier it is to follow the Holy Spirit. Dependent on how well you know him, how well you know the truth, the word. Another point I want to make with hearing God's voice is don't only seek his voice when you need to make decisions. Because this is when I hear most people talking about what God's telling them. It's like, I had to decide if I'm taking that job or that job. I had to decide if I'm taking that house or that house. I had to decide, which color am I wearing today? No, I'm joking. But some people do that. But the point is like, you have to, it's not a transactional relationship where he just wants to instruct you all the time. Nobody likes that. He wants to do life with you. He wants to tell you to lock the toilet door. Because it's going to save you. You know, he wants to tell you things like that. You know, hey, quickly, run to the garage. The water's overflowing. He wants to save you some trouble. It's not just whatever. It's also including things like just talking about what you enjoy. Hey, God, you know, I really like this. I really like that. And just talking about the sunset or flowers or coffee or whatever makes you happy. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits to knowing God. They're listed there. It includes healing. It includes freedom. He doesn't want you to be in any bondage. He wants you to live free. But what's one of the biggest benefits? Having a friendship with him and being able to hear him. You can hear God's voice. It's not just for the chosen frozen like me. It's for all of us. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So this is saying, hey, seek God's face. That's this part here. Most of you are seeking his hand, what he can do for you. Not relationship. You know, husband and wife, example again. You know, you're talking to, or one of you is talking, one of you is listening usually, right? Not asking you specifically, I'm just looking at you. So let's say you're talking to Peter and Natasha. Do you like it when he's looking at everything else and busy with everything else, or do you want him to, hypothetically speaking, if he was doing that, you'd rather have him looking at you? Every time. The other way around, true as well. You want the person to look at you when you're talking to them. Because it's relationship. Okay? God wants relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. Seek his face. Seek relationship. Not just, hey, what can I do for you? You know, like magic trick or something. Let's see what comes out of his hands. Yes, if you need healing, seek the healer. Don't just seek healing. Seek the healer. If you're needing provision, seek the provider. Don't just seek provision. But seek him because everything's in him. Okay? Everything is in Jesus. So seek him. So seek his face, not just his hands. So there's just a few key things I just want to share with you before we close, and that is just with regard to being able to discern, is this God or is this not, specifically with making decisions. Because let's face it, we all have to make decisions on a daily basis, and we need to learn to know, is this God or is this not God? We need to be able to know, hey, is God speaking to me, and should I do this or shouldn't I do this? It's not. It's nice to talk about the sunset, but you know we also want to be practical. And God wants to direct you in a good path, the paths of righteousness, which will benefit you. And you may have heard this before, but if you're here, you need to hear it again. So, first one is Psalm 34, verse 7, which says that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. Okay, and that's not saying that you're desiring a new job, so God's going to give you a new job. Or you're desiring a Ferrari, He's going to give you a Ferrari. You're desiring a wife or a husband. It's not talking about carnality like that. Carnality is not always sin, so relax. He's not talking about that. It's talking about him giving you desires to desire. He wants to give you desires to desire. And how does that happen? So delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you desires to desire. And then it's easy to know, is this God or is this not? Because you just follow the desires that he's placed in your heart. You know, I'll dig into this a bit more now, but when we first went into Albania, how did I know that we should go into Albania? It was a desire of my heart. I knew we need to be part of this. There was a lot of people against it, and people didn't want to support it, and they were like, we just need to focus on home and doing what we're doing here. I was like, thanks for your input. And we did it. And it has been awesome. We've seen some great fruit. And I believe that one of the ways was knowing that this is God speaking to me through my desires. I didn't have a word from the Lord saying, thou shalt go to Albania and bring forth thy good news. Yeah, it was a case of, I know that this is what we need to do. And so, but there's a requirement here. You can't just follow the desires of your heart. Many of you will die tonight. Please don't. Just follow the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I believe that this is talking about a submission to God and a relationship with him where you're a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But it's also saying delight. And delight isn't just talking about happy-go-lucky or anything like that. Delight in the Hebrew means pliable. It means moldable. And so what it's saying is that if your heart is moldable in the Lord, he's able to shape you and mold you, and you're like, God, whatever you want, I want it. If that's where you're living, it's easy. Just follow the desires of your heart, because he's already put those desires in there. You'll know what to do. This morning I was ministering to someone, and they need to make a decision. And just after listening to the situation for a while, it was awesome for me to be able to say, what do you want to do? And then they said what they thought, and I said, I think that's God. Because I could hear that they're seeking God, their heart is pliable, and they're not kind of out, they're not in it for the wrong reason. So I knew, you know what to do. It's just confusion sometimes comes in because of the enemy sends distraction. That's another story. So, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires. You can follow the desires. Then there's peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is being secure amidst turmoil. We all experience turmoil at times, but you know, peace is like, it's going to be okay, I'm going to get through this. That's peace. You know, peace is if you think about Jesus and the disciples getting into the boat, and Jesus saying, let's go over to the other side. And they're in the middle of the lake, and a storm comes. Did Jesus have peace? He did have peace, he was sleeping in the middle of the storm. Did the disciples have peace? Not one of them. They were not sleeping, they were panicking. They woke Jesus up and said, don't you even care about us, that we're going to die. They didn't have peace. Jesus did have peace in a life-threatening situation. These guys were fishermen, they knew storm. They knew that this storm could kill them. The point is, Jesus was in their boat. You might be a Christian and be experiencing a storm. It doesn't mean that you're just going to get to the other side. What did Jesus do? He just got up, rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves. Everything was calm. They went over to the other side. So it just shows you that, hey, things aren't going to automatically just be perfect. Doesn't mean because you're a Christian you're not going to experience a storm. They had Jesus in the boat. They experienced the storm. The storm didn't go away until they did something, or Jesus did something about it. We've got the same authority, and we can do the same things that Jesus did, and even greater things than him. He said that. And so all we need to do is rebuke the storms, deal with them, and keep moving forward. But many of us allow the storms to determine the direction that we're going. Circumstances come, storms come, and we're like, okay, I've got this circumstance, now I need to make a decision. Don't make decisions based on circumstances. Sometimes you need to consider the circumstances, but make your decisions based on what is the Lord saying to me. What is the word of the Lord to the disciples? Let's go over to the other side. They should have had a storm and go, you know what, guys, just relax. We're going to go to the other side because Jesus said we must go. Let's just push through the storm, even if they didn't rebuke it. Let's just push through. That's a better attitude than we're going to die. I read an awesome testimony this week. It was this guy's dad had a word from God that he would die peacefully one day. And so he stood on that. He knew, I'm going to die, and it's going to be peace. One day when I die, it's going to be peacefully. And so he phoned his dad. This guy phoned his dad the one day, and he said, hey, Dad, how are you doing? And his dad was like, you know, I'm in so much pain today. He was a farmer. I'm in pain. I'm not feeling well. I know I'm not going to die today. That was his mentality. Many of us would be like, I think I might die today because I've got so much pain in my life, so much suffering. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, that's not God's will for you. You know that. So then it should be a case of, well, there's just so many problems that are threatening to sink me today. I know it's not my time. If God's with me and I know I have success, then if all this thing, I'm not through the storm yet then. You know, if you're not going, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. There might be a whole lot of evil going around you, a whole lot of death. You might be in the middle of it all, but you need to have an attitude. Hey guys, I'm just passing through. You know, and you're waving. 10,000 may fall at your left side, your right side, but it doesn't come near you because that's not your inheritance. Okay, so peace. I was like, how do we get there? Colossians 3 verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let means it's up to you. You need to allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. You need to allow the peace of God to show you which direction to go. But let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it act as an umpire making the final decision in everything. That's what it means. Let God's peace help you make your decisions. If you don't have peace with the decision, don't make it. If you have peace with the decision, make it. If you're kind of like, I don't know about this, don't make a decision. Just wait. Another decision that I was praying with a couple about this morning, I just said, if you feel feeling pressure at all, just decide not to make a decision. I said, how I operate is if I'm feeling I need to make a decision now, I just step back and go, okay, I'll just wait a bit. Let me just hold on. Because usually it's not God who's like pushing you. There's always an urgency. There's people dying and going to hell, and we need to win the world. Doesn't mean we all need to just go out crazy like every living thing, like make sure that they hear the gospel. There needs to be an urgency about it, but God will never make you feel pressured to do something. The enemy is the one who makes you feel pressured to do something. So, follow the peace. Then the last point I'll make is follow the favor. 1 John 4 verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. So that to say, as Jesus is, so are we right now. The Christian is identical to Christ in our spirit. So God, the way God sees Jesus and deals with Jesus is the way that he sees us and deals with us. That's awesome. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It means that as a Christian, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are 100% right with God because of what Jesus did, not because you're doing right. You've been made right with God. And so what that's saying is that when God sees you and when he deals with you, he sees you as right. He treats you, he wants to and is treating you the same way he would treat Jesus. Many of us don't experience that because we're not expecting to be treated like he would treat Jesus. We're expecting him to treat us like he would a naughty kid. Because we don't know the word. But, so, if God's treating us the same way he treats Jesus, Jesus has favor with God, which means I've got favor with God. I've got God's grace. You've got God's grace, which means grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor, which means you've got undeserved favor on your life, so follow the favor. Favor opens doors for you. You shouldn't go through all of them, but it'll help you to be able to go through doors. It'll help doors open for you. You'll know, hey, this is the way I should go. But sometimes you might not, if you feel like, there's blockages, and I know that I should go in this direction, but it's just not working out. Just because it's not working out doesn't mean you shouldn't be going that direction. If it's not working out, maybe the enemy's trying to stop you. If you try and do anything great for God, you step out in faith. God, the enemy's going to try and prevent you and stop you and deter you. So you need to push through his blockages and go past that. But some, you know, but that, so that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is sometimes you just, I want to go down this path, and it's just like it doesn't work. Because there's no favor from God in that direction. And you're like, but that's what I want to do. Am I speaking to someone? And you're like, I'm going there. I'm doing that. God, I know you want me to do that, but I want to do this. I'm asking you for your blessing. That's stupid, firstly. But secondly, it's like if you're going in that direction, the favor is not going to open doors for you. if you have to force something, like if I find out that God wants me to do this, like Albania, I know that that's God's heart and he wants us to plant the church there and all of that. This was 2 years ago. So there were blockages to get there. What did we do? We pushed through all those blockages. Carl and Alicia, you know, eventually got their paperwork and able to stay longer than 3 months. That was a miracle. But we had to push through a lot of resistance to get there. Now it might be different in that you feel, I want to go in this direction. And it's just like, there's no favor, there's no blessing. It's just like constantly, if you force your way through that, you're going to suffer. Force your way through the blockages in the direction you know you should go, but don't force your way through nothing. So, in conclusion, my sheep hear my voice. God's speaking to you. If you're not a believer, God's speaking to you right now, but the only thing he's saying to you is, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Receive me and get to know me. That's all he's saying to you. He's not saying anything about your career. He's not saying anything about your family. I can guarantee you now. If you're an unbeliever, the only thing Jesus is saying to you right now is, I love you and I want to have a relationship with you. If you're a believer, he's saying, I love you and all of that too. But he wants to be able to talk to you about other things, the direction you should go, etc., etc. Being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, it helps so much. It amplifies your relationship with God. It enables you to hear more clearly. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't received that, you need to come forward afterwards and just ask and someone will pray with you, because you need to have that power to be able to experience that depth of relationship with God. Amen. So, God wants to speak to you. You just need to listen. He is speaking to you. You just need to listen. Tune in and allow him to be the strongest voice in your life. Not the voice of reason, not the voice of logic, not your parents' voice, not your granny's voice, not your friend's voice, not anyone's voice. God speaks through people, loved ones, but let him be the primary voice in your life. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you that you're not treating us as our sins deserve us, but you're treating us better than that, Father. Thank you that you want to speak to each one of us, and you are speaking to each one of us. You want to have a great relationship with us, and I just pray for each and every single person under the influence of my voice that right now would be just the first step of them moving forward in hearing and knowing your voice even more clearly, Father. Thank you for great testimonies to come from this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.